God's simple method of conquering Jericho. For 6 days Israel made the circuit of the city. The seventh day came, and with the first dawn of light, Joshua marshaled the armies of the Lord. Now they were to march 7 times around Jericho, and at a mighty peal from the trumpets to shout with a loud voice, for God had given them the city. The vast army marched solemnly around the walls. All was silent, save the measured tread of many feet. The watchers on the walls looked on with rising fear as, the first circuit ended, there followed a second, then a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. What could be the object of these mysterious movements? They had not long to wait. As the seventh circuit was completed, the long procession paused. The trumpets, which for an interval had been silent, now broke forth in a blast that shook the very earth. The walls of solid stone, with their massive towers and battlements, tottered and heaved from their foundations, and with a crash fell to the earth. The inhabitants of Jericho were paralyzed with terror, and the hosts of Israel marched in and took possession of the city. The Israelites had not gained the victory by their own power, and as the first fruits of the land, the city, with all that it contained, was to be devoted as a sacrifice to God. In the conquest of Canaan, the Israelites were not to fight for themselves, not to seek for riches or self-exaltation, but for the glory of Jehovah their King. The command had been given, "Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." All the inhabitants, with every living thing, were put to the sword. Only faithful Rahab with her household was spared in fulfillment of the promise of the spies. The city palaces and temples, its magnificent dwellings with all their luxurious appointments, the rich draperies and the costly garments, were given to the flames. That which could not be destroyed by fire, the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron, was to be devoted to the service of the tabernacle. Jericho was never to be rebuilt as a stronghold. Judgments were threatened on anyone who should presume to restore the walls that divine power had cast down. The utter destruction of the people of Jericho was a fulfillment of commands previously given concerning the inhabitants of Canaan, "Thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Of the cities of these people, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth." To many these commands seem contrary to the spirit of love and mercy enjoined in other portions of the Bible. But they were in truth the dictates of infinite wisdom and goodness. God was about to establish Israel in Canaan. They were not only to be inheritors of the true religion, but to disseminate its principles throughout the world. The Canaanites had abandoned themselves to debasing heathenism, and it was necessary that the land be cleared of what would surely prevent the fulfillment of God's gracious purposes. The inhabitants had been granted ample opportunity for repentance. 40 years before, the judgments on Egypt had testified to the power of the God of Israel. The overthrow of Midian, of Gilead and Bashan, had further shown that he was above all gods. His abhorrence of impurity had been demonstrated in the judgments on Israel for their participation in the abominable rites of Baal Peor. All these events were known to the inhabitants of Jericho. Many shared Rahab's conviction, though they refused to obey it, that the God of Israel is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. Like the men before the flood, the Canaanites lived only to blaspheme heaven and defile the earth. Both love and justice demanded the execution of these rebels against God and foes to man. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. The captain of the Lord's host communicated only with Joshua. He did not reveal himself to all the congregation, and it rested with them to believe or doubt the words of Joshua. They could not see the host of angels who attended them under the leadership of the Son of God. They might have reasoned, "How ridiculous, marching daily around the walls of the city, blowing trumpets of ram's horns. This can have no effect upon those towering fortifications." But it was to be impressed upon their minds that their strength was not in the wisdom of man, nor in his might, but only in the God of their salvation. God will do great things for those who trust in Him. He will help His believing children in every emergency, if they will place their entire confidence in Him and faithfully obey Him.